Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey, y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday night. We are stealing beer. 8 after 5 o'clock on Monday night. But actually Monday, so I got that part
right. But still Monday.
It is Monday.
In the 5 o'clock hour, and it doesn't matter. This will go up next week anyway.
Yep, we're still here. So you're listening to a Memorial Day episode. One of the things that we've been running
to summer.
Series of episodes here. We actually have a Brian Cass episode, so very special episode.
You know,
it's like the one when somebody tried to touch the child. It's a very special episode.
What? Yeah, what does that mean?
Do you not remember in the 80s when there was always a very special episode where some child was being menaced?
Right.
And it was a very special episode?
Yeah. That's for the Patreons.
I'm sorry. That's a Patreon episode. I'm sorry. This one, somebody tried to sell a marijuana. It's one of those very special episodes. Sorry.
Don't
do the pot. The pot kills.
God, the sunglasses are on.
That's
everyone.
Right. We're sitting with the Blues Brothers.
This weekend. It's the marathon poker tournament on Bravo.
That's right, dude. Right. You really do look like. If you had like a hoodie sweatshirt on right now, like folded tight,
yeah,
little
Unabomber, and we just get you a deck of cards in front of you, and nobody would know the difference.
He's sitting on bullets. He's tightened his. Tightened is whatever. Anyway,
I'm getting a photo for this.
Hi, everybody.
We've been somebody Facebook Live that shit. We've done a whole bunch of episodes. People tell us good kinds. We've been doing a series of very brewer-heavy ones, which we're proud of and people are responding well to. But one of the ones people like is when we just bullshit topically, which is kind of the genesis of the thing.
It's like one guy who likes it.
But he's very vocal.
You're welcome, Tim.
He's very vocal. Apparently has multiple Gmail accounts.
Yeah, it's Tim Hitchens.
Hey, Tim.
What's up, Tim?
Anyway, Justino gave us all some homework assignments by putting all the stuff I've put on our Facebook page back to me in one email.
I double-checked the Facebook page, so we did not repeat any articles that we've already posted online.
All of them have been online.
They're all related.
But anyway, so he said us all things, and he said, let's do a news episode. Let's talk about what's up. So this is the Monday before Memorial Day. We're going to put it up on Memorial Day. So nothing you need to listen to too closely. Just us talking about the current trends of the beginning of this year. Because this time last year, John, you'll remember, there was a whole bunch of acquisitions going on, and almost every time we sat down, it was, did you hear this happen, and what the fuck do we think? And I think we've now taken that so in stride, we haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on in the industry.
There's some
right
interesting
now.
Stuff in the
and
industry.
And things that don't have ramifications for folks who are listening,
yeah,
and
so,
for us as well.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also more fun because besides being interviewers and drunks, you and I get to play a role of, you know, persnickety little craft brewer and craft beer writer, and when these topics come up, better than when we're talking to somebody else about why he put marigolds into his goza.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Justin assigned us a whole bunch of reading. It's the Pete Coors letter that came out after CBC, the Ninkasi response to it, the news of Green Flash going bankrupt, being taken over by private equity, and selling their East Coast brewery that was only a couple months into work to
3 months old, I think.
Mitch Steele and a bunch of former AB guys.
Yeah.
And then we also have a new news release today that Schmaltz is changing its business profile.
Yeah.
So what we asked Justin to do was form some questions to guide us through these topics so that John and I just aren't ranting back and forth at each other. So first Justin will ask a question, then John and I will rant back and forth at each other.
Okay. Right, and we're going to drink beer during this?
Yeah.
You brought beers?
I brought beer.
Did you tell yourself what you brought?
No, my wife went to the store, bought them, and put them in the back.
One of these days, I should actually do that, is just have April
pull to like, sock monkey them.
Right.
And we could all just drink blind.
Or I'll open up the fridge, close my eyes, and just grab bottles and hand them to her. She'll put them in a black plastic
bag. The only problem with that is there's the giveaway of caps. because no matter what, one of us has to open it. And yeah. if most of what you get as the press shit, I imagine, is well branded. You know what I mean? So even if you use a sterile gold cap, if the company's good at marketing, it's somehow going to identify to you what it is from
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'll have my eyes closed the whole time.
I understand, but somebody, one of the four of us needs to open it. So one of us has a clue that the other three don't.
Justin,
I really like Blind to be Blind.
We were all blind one time at tour, so I don't know if you remember on the Jester King episode, but you guys weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
So. I was there. It was one of the best episodes we ever did.
Take your word for it.
People are saying.
Justin, we didn't we're off the rails. Get us back on.
All right,
get us
here
back
we go.
On. This is literally the only thing we asked. So we're going to start with the P-Corps letter. If you haven't read it, we'll post it on our website, or we'll post a link to it on the website.
Well, if you go to our Facebook page.
Or the Facebook, I'm sorry.
Somebody put the P-Corps letter on ours.
But we will also link it to this post
right.
on.
I got you. Yes. But I also put the Ninkasi response under it. So
sure,
both
Nico's
of the things
response.
We're referencing will be there.
All right. So in his letter to the Brewers Association, or an open letter to the Brewers Association, this is right after CBC a couple weeks ago, P-Corps is basically accusing the Brewers Association of pitting one part of the industry against another. Do you guys think that is true? And if so, does that matter overall?
So the Brewers Association is a nonprofit, they say they're nonprofit, lobbying group on behalf of what they call small and independent brewers. And so folks who use this upside down bottle seal, although I hear that's changing as well. To represent folks like you who have cans. There's going to be multiple variations of this seal coming out fairly soon. But the BA, the Brewers Association, for a very, very long time has had this argument of us versus them. Us being craft brewers and small brewers, and them being ABI, Miller, Coors, Heineken, anybody who doesn't fit into their definition. And that's their job as a lobbying group. And so I get that, and I respect that. I don't know necessarily if this us versus them mentality always works. And I think that there are gray areas in between, and having, for a consumer base anyway, it's great for the small brewers, but for a consumer base, I don't know if it actually helps the whole industry. And I don't know if it helps small brewers. I don't know if it helped big brewers or anybody in between, but it certainly doesn't help consumers by having them pick sides. And I can get into why in a minute, but that's just a little background on who the BA is, if you're unaware, and what they've done. They've come out with things in the past called Craft versus Crafty, which was a failed marketing campaign that they did a couple years ago where, you know, Blue Moon is not craft, they're crafty. Widmer Brothers, because their parent company is 50% owned or 30% owned by ABI, they're not craft, they're crafty. And there's a whole bunch of other folks out there who use the word craft, who don't fall into the BA's definition, but who make beers that are fun and flavorful and inventive in some ways, and push the envelope further. So, but from your brewer perspective, I know you're going to fight back on this pretty hard.
So the problem with this is I could do the whole episode on just this answer because I have so many feelings. But the first thing I want to talk about what you just talked about, is I think everything you said is right except for one bit.
Yeah.
This one is clearly working, and the reason it's clearly working is P-Corps is talking about it, right?
Sure.
This is their fifth attempt, like you said, craft versus crafty, and flavor versus yellow water, and you know there was the stone attack and all the different ways to attack. But this one's clearly working, and it may be working because now there's 6,000 small breweries and unified behind one message. It's much stronger than 1,000 small breweries, some of which bitched about their flavor, some of which bitched about their, you know, octopus vampire squid thing. And, you know, and it, so this one's clearly taking hold with people and what independent matters. But really, when I read the P-Corps letter, and we all know I pride myself on seeing everything differently than everybody, but what I read from that was kind of it's the same attack that bothers me when people try to hold on to class. When old money tries to hold on to old money,
mm-hmm.
when they try to make new people feel uncomfortable.
What I read from Pete Kors was, well, this is society, darling, and if you can't be a gentleman in society, you can't come into our club, and this is where we should be polite. And I read it purely as that kind of weird social paradigm he was trying to reflect on people. Like, listen, riffraff, we've been doing this for 400 years, and we have a gentlemanly approach where we all meet at the club, ha ha ha, and trade back and forth.
Well, sure, Mr. Rockefeller, yeah.
But you know what I mean? But that's what I see, and I see a guy who's third or fourth generation in his family, never really did the work to start the company, and believes that, like, from his perspective, it's funny, like, we've had the wine discussion here about how much money's in your pocket, right? If you make $100,000 a year and you wear a $2,000 watch, and you make $100 a year and you wear a $2 watch, you're both spending the same exact amount of your income on your watches. So I always try to explain to people, like, why would somebody pay $40 for a beer? I'm like, well, if you've got money where $40 is your beer allowance, you can make that choice. Well, to me, this independent thing seems to have made a chip in his armor, because from his perspective, of course, he honestly believed for all these years that Blue Moon was tiny and independent and different than Coors, without realizing how small and independent all these other things were, till they all got together and said, behind this, we're independent, we're not funded by multinational conglomerates with stock options. And I think what that says to me is that, because we've talked about it on the show before, but Carton doesn't do anybody else's branding, and we also don't do the BA's branding.
Right.
But I support it. And if you look at every can we've made since that thing came out, there's an upside down bottle hidden somewhere in the art as a nod to that being important.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that's working, and that's working because Pete Kors is doing that douchey, well, if you don't know how to tie your tie, you can't come into our club thing.
Sure. But here's the thing, and I don't disagree that the 6,700 breweries that are in existence in the U.S. these days, the majority of which are small or craft or independent or whatever word will follow independent when that word finds a way to get... it's a nice
round. You love beer. This beer.
Justin's hitting all the right buttons today.
I didn't even get Roush. I got fresh hops. I mean, I know it's smoked, but I got really big, pretty green shippers. Keep talking.
Here's
we'll do
thing.
It the right way.
Here's the thing. Beer volumes overall are down. So Coors is down. ABI is down here in the U.S. Sierra Nevada is flat. Sam Adams is down. New Belgium is down. The larger the brewery, the more down you are. You go to tap rooms like yours and other tap rooms in Jersey where you're selling most of your stuff out of the tap rooms directly to the customers. They're doing really well, at least for now, or a good chunk of them are, I should say. If you're making good beer and there's a buzz around your beer, or there's a local interest in your beer or a far-flung interest in your beer, people will line up or come to your tap room where you can make money selling pints and doing your thing. It's harder for the it's harder the larger you are, and it's not just the craft breweries that are putting a chink in the armor of Coors and Miller and ABI, but it's the newer generation of drinkers who are going out and they're also drinking spirits and they're also drinking wine. They're cross-drinking all over the place, which is a threat to beer in general, in the same way that it's a threat to wine in general as well. So I think that Pete is seeing the writing on the wall with that. They're seeing their sales are down, that yes, craft is taking a chink out of the armor, but so are spirits, so is wine, so is kombucha or whatever the fuck else people are drinking these days. The one thing that I will say is I will never begrudge somebody for coming into a family company four generations later, five generations later, and keeping things going and having their own vision and putting things forward as well. Just because he wasn't the founder of the company doesn't mean that he hasn't worked hard to build where things are these days. I mean, with the exception of, like, you know, the latest August Bush, you know, that he's getting just poked out in a helicopter with hookers. So like good on him. Like, I don't think he ever attended a board meeting.
I definitely don't want to think I was undermining that. And I am definitely actually pro nepotism. I think I think it's a mistake to just buy people that aren't familiar with the brand of the company.
So
what I was addressing was his perspective. He's never not done beer at that level.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is what that letter made clear to me was he actually thought, because how Blue Moon compares to Coors, that Blue Moon was small.
Right. And it is, volume-wise, in that company.
No, but it's like 3 million barrels.
But compared to
Banquet. What I'm talking
Banquet,
about is what he thought was...
I'm saying compared to Banquet,
he believed he was dealing with a small company when he was dealing with Blue Moon.
Yes.
And he's never been right about that. And what he's now realizing is that there's this whole other class of people. What he hasn't realized yet, I honestly believe, is that he hasn't big-upped craft by owning what he thought was craft. And I think he's got a lot of learning to do quickly.
I'll agree with that.
And to be fair, if you want to get into philosophical, it's late at night and we're eating some of Brian's brownies approach to things, I can definitely get into the fact where I think some section
this is
of
wild.
Some section of the 6,700 new breweries in the world are playing into big beer's hands by just making flavored beers, right? Because all we're doing is following that terrible tribe where Twisted Iced Tea turns into Not Your Father's Root Beer, turns into everybody's putting syrups and sugars at the end of their process and just making flavors that aren't beer. And if that's the place, they can do it better than us. Like, they can flavor shit. They can just go to IFF and buy flavor. And they've got a full system in place to just do that shit every day. So it's not a endurance thing to go into that world. But I believe, and I believe, like I said, once you're 6,700 people, there's a lot of slices in the pie chart. But I believe most of the pie chart, 51% most, are still guys like me who believe nobody else can do what I do, and therefore I'm not threatened up, down, or sideways. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing and keep it in front of the people that get what I do.
Here's my issue, and I agree with you on that point. But if you're not paying attention to what's happening around you, that seal is going to mean dick come down the line. So a couple weeks ago, I was in Washington
State.
But hold on.
That seal needs to mean is that nobody trades our stock on an exchange.
Okay.
That seal, so Allworth wrote this really well. If you're not reading Jeff Allworth. Jeff Allworth's been doing some pretty, at least writing that interests me. I get a ton of emails a day because I'm in every group of everything.
Yep.
Allworth has managed to get my attention and write just the right amount of words for me to feel informed and excited and move the fuck on, which people aren't very good at in the beer world.
I say this with gritted teeth, that he is the most influential beer writer in the country now.
I'm a big fan of what he's writing, but mostly for helping me tune what I think about it. But his article on this topic says if 6,700 people can use that logo and 100 can't, all of a sudden those 100 are behind a rock they can't get out.
All right, so I agree with that, and that's a great point that he made. I was at a brewery in Washington State a couple weeks ago. I was actually just hanging out with Allworth the day before. I was down in the Seattle area, and there's a brewery that's near SeaTac Airport, and I'd heard about it because it was close to the airport, and I wanted to stop by for a pint before my red eye home.
But you didn't want to miss the free beer in the first class lounge.
Well, thank you very much. Well, all they serve there is Coors. So, like, it was
that doesn't
local.
Make any sense.
So I walk into
that it. Makes total sense.
It makes total sense. Yeah, it's Rainier. It's all Pabst.
All straight Pabst.
All right. So I walk into this brewery, and it's a small little tasting room, and they have a few beers on tap. And so I say hi to the owner, who I'd met previously, and never had any of their beers. And I said, "What's your flagship?" And she says, "Oh, it's an alt beer." I was like, "That's awesome that your flagship is an alt." So I ordered a pint sight unseen. As I'm looking around, I see they have all their merchandise hanging up on the wall, T-shirts and everything. And there is on one of the sleeves of a short sleeve brewery T-shirt, the upside down bottle logo, the independent logo that I'd not seen on clothing at a brewery yet. And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool that you're doing that." And she's like, "Oh, well, you know, we're firm believers in independence and firm believer in, you know, sticking it to big beer," as she put a pint of Diacetyl down in front of me. And this is my problem going forward, is that the seal is great, but for the guys who have breweries like you who are doing inventive stuff, or, you know, the six other breweries that I went to in the Seattle area that day where I was drinking great pints, I was at Rubens and hanging out and having a great time and everything.
Do you know how hard it is to get the acetyl into an alt beer? I'd like to see you do it.
That was on purpose, John.
You have no fucking idea how hard it is to make such a clean and simple beer taste exactly like butter. Like, you're disrespecting an art here.
Uh-huh. What I'm saying is that for
this
the people who
this
are pushing
this isn't somebody who
forward.
Doesn't know how to handle London 3 throwing Citra over butter. This is somebody who crafted a small beer.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole. But for all of the Firestone walkers that are out there, and for all of the brewers that are pushing...
Can Firestone use the symbol?
Yeah.
They're largely owned by another group.
Oh, maybe they're a non-voting member?
They're largely owned by another
group. All
right,
fine.
I respect the hell out of what they do.
For all of the Sierra Nevadas and for all of the other small breweries, for the Canes and the Industrial Arts and all of the other folks that we like who are around here who are making good beer and flavorful beer and know what off flavors are and wouldn't serve off flavored pints, that's important. There are still breweries that will bring down the national average quite a bit by serving shitty pints. And I would rather drink Pete Coors's Coors Banquet 1,000 times over before I drink another alt beer that is flavored with diacetyl.
Yeah, quit making that bullshit. What's in the glass?
So that's all I'm saying is that there are.
Did y'all hear the exhale before he talked? He was like.
All right, fine. Beer one. Augie, what brings us together?
All right, what brings us together on Seal This Beer?
25 minutes in.
Candid conversation of beer and what it is, not what we hoped it would be, should be, or how long it took us in the rain to get it Saturday morning. We drink blind out of black glasses, John and I, and we just talk about what we're getting and what we're not getting. These beers were provided by our super producer, Justin Kennedy, author of Scratch the Beer Book.
Totally forgot about that book.
These Father Day present of the century. And we're drinking blind. So I really like this beer. I do too. So for those of you that aren't aware, like I said, you'll hear this next week on Memorial Day, but this we're on the first sunny day after 10 days. Straight gloomy rainy days on the East Coast.
And we're in the dark cavernous.
But it's just in the upper 60s. It's a beautiful sunny day. All of Jersey City is people and their kids running around the street in shorts. And this is one of those cookout beers, and it's just exactly right for this. So my sentence is, I wish we weren't recording ourselves. I wish we were sitting at that table right there with that mom and her two kids just drinking these beers in the sun and, you know, having the same discussion.
Leave my wife out of this.
That's not your wife.
Is it?
No. I know your wife. And your daughter.
She was here before.
She's the better producer.
Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, so that's my sentence. It just tastes like all the flavors of non-apologetic, not like cleaned up, dried out lager. Like it's got all the balls in the world. Like it's a
I'm all over the place
sweet.
With this beer. It's got a little bit of smoke to it. It's definitely got a robust hop content to it in the more old school rather than new school. Like I'm not getting any like the tropical fruit juice.
Yeah, it's like a Vienna lager, but dry.
But there's an ashiness to it as well that has like a little bit of like
that's
a cocoa thing. And
that's the yeast. That's the yeast that fucks us up.
Just what is
it's obviously a saison.
It's clearly
a saison.
I'm pretty sure it's
nowhere near lager.
Triple dry hopped.
I don't know. It's in a bottle.
Yeah.
From a bottle.
What is it, Justin?
What is it, Justino?
Oh, we're already ready for the reveal.
Yeah, it's too simple and proper
they say
to fuck around.
I say
slowly.
This is from Grimm.
Oh. Nice job, Grimmy.
It's called Castling, and they call it a farmhouse pale ale.
Saison, same thing.
Cash should be on
farmhouse pale ale.
All right, so can one of you stoners remember that it was called Castling? Because we have Grimm coming on soon.
So I've talked to Joe Grimm about this beer before, and he said that it's kind of influenced by the Durank XX and Terrace Bulba type hoppy Belgian style. So.
I'll get down on that.
It's a little higher in alcohol. I think it's like 6.5.
But it's wicked dry for anything I'd call Belgian. There's no real...
Stop it. You're from Jersey.
I'm serious.
Don't say wicked anything.
Stop it. That was ours before it was theirs.
I don't think that's true.
When I was 6, every single thing I saw was wicked.
So it's 100% Pilsner grist and hopping heavily with Hollertau, Herzbrucker, and Tettnang.
Yeah, so old school.
Yeah, proper.
Yeah.
I don't know why he called it. I wonder if he just pitched his house yeast in it and kept it cold.
I like it. I would.
I wish this came
and
in four packs.
And it's in like a 22.
Doesn't. Yeah.
That'll change when he gets his own house. He does 22 at one of the places he brews, I think.
It's a really pretty label, too.
Because he's got that format.
Yeah, we'll put it up on Untappd. All right.
Well, his wife does the art, right? Am I wrong on that?
She does some of it. I don't know who did this one.
I thought she did all the ladies.
Not all of it. Just sometimes.
Anyway, well done, Family Grimm.
Yeah.
Justin, I enjoy it a lot. Like
Justin,
I said,
steer us in the new direction.
All right, yeah, so let's leave that question behind because I think that infiltrates your next three readings anyway. Yeah. So let's move on to two.
Okay.
All right. So the next topic that I gave you guys was the Green Flash issue. I don't even know exactly how to frame it. It was a bankruptcy,
Overextended, and
so bankruptcy is a thing you claim to manage your debts.
Yeah,
their debts were managed by their creditor. Their creditor owned their debt and said, "You guys haven't paid. We now own you. We're selling you." and they were sold. It's yep. not bankruptcy unless you're like, we can't pay and we want to stay together as an entity. They clearly gave one person way too much debt.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was interesting about... Yeah.
I was just going to say, my first... I really enjoyed the San Diego newspaper article that I sent you guys because it kind of gave a history of the brewery.
Is this where we pretend we read it?
You said you read it. And
that
you
was
know,
the
Green
first time I pretended I
Green
read
Flash
it.
Green Flash was one of the first breweries that I got into when I was getting into beer because it was readily available. It was from somewhere else. It was cool. How has your view of that brewery evolved over the last few years, and what is it now? What do you think they're going to do going forward?
Now, I mean, they're in trouble, and who knows what they're going to do going forward. But what was interesting was there's a lot of breweries who were popular on the West Coast, who had big buzz, who had skipped over a bunch of states, so they might have had all of the Western states covered, and then they skipped flyover country and shipped all of their beer out here to the East Coast, where they saw some modicum of success. And it's, hey, well, why don't we build a brewery over here, and then we'll just give people the same beer that we're making on the West Coast here on the East Coast. It works for a national brand like Sierra Nevada that had basically penetrated every state and hadn't skipped over a bunch. And it also gave them, Sierra Nevada, a brewery that was then, 32 years old, and who knew what they were doing and who knew a brewery that they wanted to build, a chance to do it well. Green Flash, still relatively new, making one style of West Coast IPA, which is really popular, probably did not see the influx of all of these local breweries making really great IPAs. And so why would you drink a beer that comes from a national brand or an IPA that comes from a national brand when you can go get a good IPA from around the corner? And you leverage yourself out and you have markets that you have to fill in, and one thing leads to another, and you find yourself in this situation. I feel badly for the guys. I feel badly for the employees who got laid off. I feel badly for, beer in general. But I think it was a poor reading of the tea leaves by them a couple years ago.
So Green Flash, to me, we've talked about Untappd on the show before.
Yeah.
But before there was a Carton Brewing, I had the Untappd app.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Green Flash was hands down my number one beer, even for about the first 2 years of Carton Brewing.
Which
when I was
one?
Checking my own beers. The whatever, their IPA, Green Flash IPA. But okay. I drank so much of it in that year I was planning Carton.
Beer 2 hit the table, and Cass and I had the same reaction.
I haven't tried it yet. Should I finish my thought, or am I going to get all sidetracked? All right, I'll wait. But anyway, so they were very important to me. You know, I did a brew with them. I went out there and brewed a lager with them. And we got to do that thing I love to do where pretty well-known East Coast hop guy got together with a very well-known West Coast hop guy, mm-hmm. and we made a lager because fuck everybody, we can do that. So I like that they were willing to play that game with me and not just make another IPA. I know that they changed their labeling. I know that they changed their...
They
everything
did the rainbow
went
labeling.
Bigger. Yep. Like at some point they chose
to go
bigger.
They bought Alpine.
And to be fair, I saw that one of the writings on the wall I saw... I can tell you when it happened. So I've always thought it was a little cynical of Stone to introduce Enjoy By rather than buy a canning line. Because I think what the Stone Enjoy By dates are is how long hops are fresh in a brown glass bottle on a fucking cooler shelf.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were saying, we can't afford a canning line, we just bought a bottling line, so let's make everybody drink it before they...
Don't they can that beer too?
Now.
Yeah. Now they do.
No, okay. Yeah. But I'm talking about back then.
I see. Yeah.
But Green Flash made the same decisions. They built this new brewery over here with bottles, and they hang on to that iconic bottle. And as the world... I mean... The case has been clearly made. I don't need to argue it. The cans are better for hops. But everybody always knew that. They just didn't think the market would accept cans. So to have so committed to bottles that you can't see your way around that and get in a can as everybody who's succeeding in this can time did.
I'm not even
but
aware.
But I'm just saying that's indicative of what kind of not... paying attention and not, like, I think what you're talking about.
Right.
But I don't know them to not pay attention. I can't judge them. I still like the West Coast IPA when I see it and it's fresh.
Sure.
When I still only drink a draft, though.
And that's the thing, where building on the East Coast and coming this far on the East Coast, instead of going deep into your market and penetrating the, West to East, But immediately jumping over to the East Coast, where there was a difference, where when Sierra Nevada, when they opened up in Mills River, before they opened up in Mills River, I should say, the East
Walt
Coast,
Disney World.
Right, but the East Coast thought that pale tasted a little bit different because we were getting it 5 weeks later, and it had like a slightly sherry thing to it. It had a slightly cardboardy oxidized thing, but we all loved it because it was, you know, here. And when you'd go to Sierra and Chico and you'd drink it and it'd be fresh and it'd be like, wow, this is a totally different beer. No, we're just used to it in a different way. Sierra can pull that off. Green Flash, which I don't even think they're canning now, right?
I think they do.
Do they?
A few cans. They do.
Sierra Nevada cans.
No, Sierra does. But, you know, and
Green
then
Flash
Sierra
does
started
tall.
Canning in like 2012.
Sierra got
they
on
were an
it
early
at
adopter.
The right time. That's
right.
What I'm saying. Sierra got on it. Like when Carton opened in 2011, we had decided we would can when we packaged. And getting
is that
the
your
cans,
brewery?
But getting to cans is part of why we waited to package.
Right.
Like we didn't start with bottles and go that way because we didn't want to waste that money. We wanted to get canning. And then luckily, Cass's company came along and let us start canning probably a year ahead of when we could have afforded to. So we've been canning ever since then. But a brewery that started in 11 knew that for all the crazy bullshit I do, we make hoppy beers more often than not. So cans were the smartest choice for us. If you're Sierra, you know that, but you're afraid to commit the level of capital to that level of canning until the market can accept it.
Sure.
But by 12, they were accepting it.
Of course.
Green Flash built this brewery in 14 and 15
right.
without a canning line.
Right.
Right? Mitch, so the other part of the story that's actually wonderfully interesting to me
yes.
is one of my heroes, Mitch Steele, is the group buying that brewery out of auction. And here's an interesting thing. Like, we talk about markets every now and then. I try to avoid it because it's my day job. But as far as I know, Green Flash put $20 million into building it, and Mitch bought it for $4 million.
Mitch and his group. Mitch is a partner in New Realm Brewing, which is based out
of
Atlanta.
A fifth of the price. Do you understand what that does to the valuation? And it just says whoever was handling that money didn't know how to handle money.
Right.
It meant the bank kept giving them money because they were happy to loan at that rate. And they kept going back for more money instead of being efficient at what they're doing. Because if you can buy something for a fifth of what it costs, desperate bankruptcy or not, that's the value of the thing. So somebody way overspent building and nobody paid attention to the bottom line because they thought they couldn't fail. And that's when you're always going to fail.
So it's great for New Realm that they're going to be able to expand. Mitch is doing some really cool stuff there. So Mitch started at AB. We have a profile of him up on beerandbrewing.com that I wrote, which is actually great to see.
A current profile?
Yeah, it's a current
cool.
profile of him at New Realm. Right
he's
before
a hero
they announced.
Of mine. Everybody knows that.
And he's a great brewer and just a really lovely guy. I got to hang out with him a little bit at the Craft Brewers Conference, and we were talking about this thing. And they're going to be able to expand into new markets. And Mitch, who knows how to open breweries, Mitch, who knows how to do expansions, not only did he run Stone after he left AB, but he opened up Richmond and he opened up Berlin, and he knows how to open up new breweries and open up new markets as well. Not only are they doing hop-forward stuff, but he's also going to be pushing into lagers, and he's going to be going into historic recipes as well. So I think that anybody who's going to be in New Realm's footprint going forward should actually be paying attention to their market share as well, because Mitch is going to come in and they're not afraid to eat your lunch. And it's great beer, and I'll drink it all day long. So somebody else's folly was certainly another brewer's gain, and it's nice when it's somebody who has such industry respect and who knows what they're doing with real equipment.
I've said this definitely to you over beers in one of our many sessions, but, you know, if Carton has a niche, if we have an identity, it's Boat. And soon after, Boat came around at the beginning because nobody was making a little IPA that satisfied my double flavors. And soon after, Session Beer blew up. And everybody started just rewriting small pails and calling them Session IPAs.
Yeah.
And Mitch's, what does Stone call it? Go-to?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Go-to. Right. Go-to is the only one
Isn't
of all
those.
Isn't
that the gluten-free one, too?
No, that's delicious.
But Go-To was the only one that came out that I thought paid proper respect to trying to hit all the things a big fat double does well in a small beer, whereas everybody else just made a smaller pale or a smaller IPA. Mitch made a smaller double.
So yeah. I've often respected and hope that means we get more of those kinds of beers out of him.
All right, so the opposite side of the coin. All right, is
hold
this
on.
Beer
now we
got to
talk about
us.
This beer you're drinking, because the two of you smelled it, tasted it, made horrible faces so much so that I thought it was going to be corked or poisoned.
Yeah, you like
no.
it.
I'm fine with it. It's decidedly bitter.
Yeah.
So my complaint is this: there's a big disjoint between the first aromatic hit of the hot flavor and the very bitter finish, and I wish it was linked better by probably some wheat.
It's got elements to it. It doesn't have a connective thread.
Right. But what I'm saying is the attack is an aromatic hop blast, and it's got a decidedly bitter finish that I would be okay with if the aromatic hop blast was still linked to it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's old or if it's somebody angrily making a bitter beer for the purpose of making a bitter beer.
Yeah, what's
it's
the born-on date on the bottom of this can that you opened for?
May 10th. So it's 11 days.
No
it was
shit.
Can 11 days ago. Yep.
So somebody made a bitter beer on purpose is what I'm saying. Yeah. This is a bitter beer on purpose. And I don't... So there's all the sugary maltiness. There's all the sugary maltiness of a double IPA, right?
Yeah.
But... like I said, and the attack comes on very pleasingly aromatic, and the finish is decidedly bitter. I just wish something was connecting those two together.
No, I'm with you.
This one's not for the Haze Bros.
Oh no, they should call this.
Oh no, they're gonna. This is one star on Untappd. I want my money back. This is called I Want My Money Back IPA.
I think it's because I'm drinking juice next to it.
Justin, what is it?
Why are we revealing this?
But wait, I haven't, because we're actually getting a lot
of
conversation.
Oh, I'm drinking this online, passing it out to people just to piss them off.
This is something I sip.
So this is Lawson Sip of Sunshine.
Wow.
I thought this brewed at Two Roads, and I bought it at my bodega last night for $18 a four-pack.
That don't taste like sip to me.
that smells like sip. I think there's something going on with it.
Package 10th of May 2018 at 9:42 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the way that I've remembered this beer.
I know this beer. I drink it regularly.
Yeah.
And it smells right.
Do you get like the employee discount up at Two Roads?
No, but I like Sean a lot.
But do they put something on your truck? Do they put like a...
No. You don't ever want to do favors with people you do that kind of business with. Nope, because then they'll need favors, and when they need favors, it's because they've already fucked your beer up.
Justin, you getting beer three from underneath me?
Yeah.
But it smells
right. Tell me where it is.
It smells right, and I like the bitterness, but it's like...
Put
it's
a
almost
sock
like
in
they
it.
It's almost like they mashed too cold or something.
I don't know. I opened the can last night, and I thought it was a little off. And I checked the date, and it's...
So wait, you sabotaged my friend Sean Lawson by bringing me a beer?
I just wanted an honest assessment from
you.
You
got
an honest
assessment.
You got it. That's what the show's all about.
We will
all
always give you an honest assessment, but...
Topic three.
Okay, yes.
All right, the Schmaltz deal
is the first time we ever
had
stuff
on
the show.
Earlier today, so we're recording the Monday before Memorial Day. This morning I got a call from our old friend Jeremy Cowan at Schmaltz Brewing, who announced... that his brewery in Clifton Park, New York, the suburb of Troy,
the
north of Albany.
The one he just built that we talked about on
the
show. The
one that he just built. He has sold, basically as a turnkey operation, to Single Cut.
Single Cut is a Queens brewer of cloudy beers named after guitars, right?
Not saying I knew about it, but I knew about it.
Okay. So
John just broke the news, dude. Where were you?
Yeah.
What kind of weird internet troll are
was this,
you?
Oh, was this up
news.
On idrinkgoodbeer.com?
I like Devo.
No, because it's
I
up
like
on my
Devo
site.
Before they were cool.
It's up on my site right now.
Shit. Shit.
So what good's knowing it unless you're going to share it?
Well, because I was not allowed to share that.
Uh-huh.
Then why are you doing it now?
Well, I was.
I just need to see it cool.
What's the trade value of that information?
Cans.
Cans.
So many cans. So many sticker cans. Thank you, sir. Beer three. I brought a beer because I wanted Augie's opinion on this one, and I haven't tried this beer yet. It just arrived this morning or the other day or whenever. I don't know. All right. So Jeremy is selling his brewery, the building, the equipment, everything that's inside the building to Single Cut. He is going back to be a contract operation, which is how Schmaltz started. He told us his story. You can go back and listen to the episode that he was on. And what's really interesting about this is one Single Cut is moving into a space that I think has something like a 40,000, 50,000 barrel capacity and room to grow up in the capital region of New York, and they can still make their stuff down here. Jeremy is going to continue to contract brew his Schmaltz and his Alphabet City and his 508 or like whatever he calls his
he
thing.
He brew, she right. brew, Jubilee.
You brew, we brew, I brew.
Pastrami pills. Yeah. Yeah.
Pastrami pills for here at Barcade.
There's no
as
way
well.
He keeps making that one.
But he's going to do it at other facilities and not at what Single Cut is buying. Single Cut is apparently bringing everything in-house, and they're just going to be making their own Single Cut beers there. Jeremy is opening up a small tasting room in Troy, New York, which I think he mentioned to us as well. That opens in June, but that will not be a brewery. You're rubbing up against the pop
itch.
Filter like a cat against like a
itch.
Corner. I don't. It's mesmerizing to watch you do this. So, but it's sort of this interesting thing. It's sort of the opposite of Green Flash.
It's the exact opposite of which Mitch Steele just did.
Exactly.
Right? Mitch finally got his little place where he was seeing his customers eye to eye and putting stuff in their hands and saw the opportunity, immediately moved back into a respectably, potentially huge brewery. Because the thing we left out of that thing is Mitch's press is talking about that brewery as a 50,000 barrel a year brewery down in Virginia Beach. But the space is potentially 200, right? So Jeremy on the show, and I've had some drinks with Jeremy. We all have, and we've had a good time with him.
You taught him how to order a margarita.
The only way to order a margarita.
Where were we? We were in Breckenridge.
No, Breckenridge.
Breckenridge.
We were at that big ass beer thing you made me do, which was so much fun and
hard
on my brain.
We're gonna do it.
We'll
again.
Do it.
Do we do episodes that weekend?
Fuck off.
Literally,
you're not allowed to make these jokes.
Two best
Justin.
Episodes we ever did, Justin. Anyway,
turn around and face the corner.
those episodes. That's it. Now take a lap.
Find me out next time.
Oh man, we are so far over time at this point.
It's fine. Yeah. It's
nobody's listening on Memorial Day.
Anybody that does listen on Memorial Day is a guy who needed us to kill an hour for him. So let's finish it up. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, he was on the show and he's captivating. He has the joy of it. He's got that glint in his eye of a merry prankster that I enjoy. And he, you know. I get, like, I totally understand why running a brewery, like, when you run breweries, you got to pay bills. You got to make beer for them. You can't.
And I had a phone conversation with them today.
You can't just think something's going to be amazingly fun and go knock that one out, right?
He used the example of having to worry about, are the fire extinguishers up to code in the building?
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to be out selling beer.
Yeah.
He loves being in front of people. He loves doing his thing. He's good at it. And so he built a brewery. It survived in that region, which has struggled so much with Mendocino and Saratoga and all that going under and everything. But he built a beautiful brewery. It's open through, I think, the end of the year under the Schmaltz name. If people want to get up and check that out and just, you know, go drink beer in his house, you should. I'm going to do a book event there at some point. Justin, you should do a book event there at some point.
You guys should
do
together.
A book event together.
People can read John's and smell Justin's.
Justin, what finger do you suggest using to scratch?
Thumb, right? You want the outside corner of the thumbnail.
No, index finger, for sure.
No, the outside corner of the thumbnail. Dude.
I bite my nails, so I don't really have
like
nails.
Like this, outside corner of the thumbnail.
Okay.
Use a quarter.
All right, so beer three.
That's
for scratchers. Not scratchers.
Right,
scratch
just
and sniff.
From the New Jersey Lottery.
Is he going to buy some cools if you hit your other scratcher?
If it's less, you get some Lucy's.
Who put cools out on my carpet?
So beer three. This tastes a lot three. Different than...
By the way, I just want to point out, we're not doing a show after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we are. We're doing a Patreon episode about Goose Island book.
Oh, are we?
No, we're not.
Just a quickie.
No. Yeah, no, I thought it was a production meeting.
We have a production meeting.
We have a production meeting.
Yeah, we're not doing
recorded
that.
About Goose Island.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so...
It sucks.
The flavors of your beer. So I smelled it. I got some strawberry and some vanilla. Ultimately, on the palate, it's just the equivalent sweetness of sweet tea. And behind the two beers we've had, I think they were a little too beery for me to catch what this one, which is not very beery, is doing. It's, I don't know.
I had this beer over the weekend, and it tastes different, a lot
but
different.
But keep in mind what we've had leading into
this, that's
right?
True. But I had a couple of beers before.
Everything we had before this, even if the sip of sunshine is off as you suspect,
were decidedly bitter beer flavors.
With all respect to Sean, it's off. Yeah,
we're decidedly bitter beer flavors, and this thing is somehow mildly sweet. Right? If you told you told me this was Snapple, not lemon, but Snapple strawberry. You know what I mean? Like tea flavored strawberries.
That, but it's candied. It's like strawberry mixed with fluff. It's like whatever the shit you did with what's his face.
Dude, Magnify. I completely fermented that out. Did you taste it?
No,
that beer is great.
That beer does no, not I don't, taste I don't stand like in fucking
line.
Candy.
I don't stand in line.
Yeah, this is the great thing about that one. You didn't have to.
Yeah. No line. No lines of carbon. Nor will there ever.
Oh,
be.
Burn! Sick burn!
Dog.
Is there? Does anybody else get an off flavor on this? Something that I mentioned earlier.
Diacetyl, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. No.
I'm usually pretty sensitive to it. No.
I've told you this.
So I'm not at all sensitive to it.
I've told you this. You know how to taste it. I don't smell it. I feel it.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting it yet. But I've only had two sips behind.
Feel like.
It feels like butter.
Like butter.
And I guess I can find it since you said it. But only on like half of my tongue, and it's to me, it's more lost in whatever that sugary flavor is.
There's something that is slightly.
The problem is it on top of Sean's beer makes everything feel like I just smoked a joint.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like everything feels like I just.
We put the red E next to this episode.
We
right?
always
is that,
do.
Is that okay?
But you know what I mean? It's just like it's just like
fucking
a
right. We
it's
do.
It's a slightly scorched, slightly sweet, pungent. Yeah. I don't know. What all is right. it?
So
here we go.
This is from Stone's, like, they call it First Look. It's called Fear Movie Lions.
It's a sticker can from Stone. It's their
it's
East Coast
IPA. It's an unfiltered double IPA.
Oh. It's Stone's East Coast IPA.
All right, here's what I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
Alt beer.
The one we had from Sam Adams last week was better.
Yep.
For the exact same thing this is trying to do, right? This is no bittering addition.
Different
it's
cook.
Some bullshit.
They didn't even put it in the right can. It's a 12-ounce can. Like, what the?
Yeah, it's a 12-ounce sticker can.
Which just looks lame right there.
I don't disagree. This was a media sample that came to my apartment.
Hey, it's got that independent thing.
It's
on.
Got the independent thing on it, so hey, it's got to be good,
right? This isn't
what
they're going to put out. This is a media sticker.
That's for sale at the brewery means, right? in Richmond. My friend
this is like their debut. This is like their debut.
This is for you guys, though.
No, this is for this. They don't just make stuff for us. They make stuff for the general public and then send us stuff so that I don't have to go to the brewery to
buy it. So this First Lick doesn't suggest it's a press beer?
No.
I don't know.
No, this was canned on 4/26.
4/23. Enjoy by 8/21.
All right.
Here's what worries me.
So,
it's
good for 4 months, and this is now a month old that we're drinking it. It's just shy of a month old that we're drinking
it. But I've said this to everybody, and I respect Stone as brewers, and I respect their integrity and in their palate, and that they stuck by it and avoided doing this apparently till now.
Yeah.
And like I said, I made this comment about some brewery that was trying to ape the guys who do those beers well. Many of whom we call friends.
Yeah.
But it was people that were doing the Instagram comprehension of the recipe and not the brewing/flavor comprehension of the recipe. And it's why there's such a giant fucking difference between what some guys are doing and what other guys are doing. And this feels to me like somebody said, we've got to make it do these 8 things without truly comprehending what those 8 things do when they're done right. Because it does all those things, right? It's too sweet. There's no bitter. It's got some strawberry fruit to it. But it's a completely inconsequential beer, and Stone is supposed to only make consequential beers.
Did you see the ABV on this?
What is it?
8.5.
That's ridiculous. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't help it. It didn't flesh it out at all.
And it also doesn't taste like
it.
It doesn't taste like it.
So this is what happens with people that don't understand.
So also smart that they're putting it in 12-ouncers, though. So, like, respect to them for, you know, fine, you want to drink a pint. I don't drink pints
this
of 8.
This is a pint of 8.5, and this is what he's copying.
It?
Yeah.
Is sip 8.5?
Sip is 8.
It's 8. But yeah, 8.5.
Yeah,
eight
no about the same. All those pints are 8. Heady Topper's 8.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes,
is
it is.
Fuck yeah, it is. This is what I'm telling you. They're copying a beer they don't understand.
All right. Well, let's get Greg Cook on the show.
Now he's the one that pronounces it Cook. You keep fucking me up. Koch? I think it's Koch.
They both pronounce it Cook.
Okay.
Jim and Greg, non-related, both from Ohio. We've gone over this. It
By the way,
matter.
On the Patreon episode, when we talk
We're
about...
We're not doing a Patreon episode.
When we talk about... We talk about team over at Goose Island.
Yeah.
Can we not call them John Hall? Because that's really hard on me when I have to read that.
And apparently there was a third John Hall that worked there?
John J. Hall.
John J. Hall.
Yeah, unrelated.
Who's not you who's and not now, the founder either.
Right.
Well, his name is my name, too.
H-A-L-L. And he's at Five Rabbit working with Randy Mosher on...
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Hell of a great brewer.
So we have
this
to read the
fun.
Patreon thank yous.
Great.
So news, guys. Write us in. Keep up on our Facebook page. These discussions happen almost weekly at this point on the Facebook page.
Yeah, whenever
with
Augie,
you
like,
guys
feels
involved,
like bombarding us,
and we are ready.
He's
for
like
it.
A certain tweeter. Like we never know when it's coming, and it's like, oh shit! Now we have to drop everything and scramble.
I log in and I have 23 notifications.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. Anyway, so let's thank the Patreons.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to read the names, and you're going to say the thank yous. All right.
Yes.
So Jennifer Newman.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks.
Mary K. Perrin.
Thank you very much.
Victor Tafaro.
Victor, cheers.
James Reagan.
Good on you.
Reagan.
Thanks.
Can you not write these in human size?
Holy crap.
What?
Like, you're reading these like Justin does.
Well, Justin wrote it as small as possible. It's like 6 points.
I didn't write that. I printed it.
You printed it tiny.
Yeah, but like...
Old man with beers in me.
At this point,
I can read it if you'd like.
Jeffrey.
It's
Jeffrey
a 601 half dozen of another. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Bill Malloy.
Oh, Bill. We love Bill.
Thanks,
Joe
Bill.
Joe Cocker.
John Cocker.
He's a little
no,
help from
no
our friends.
CK. No, it's C-O-K-E-R. There's no C.
He's a Coker?
I think it's Coker.
All right.
He's
Robin a good friend
of mine. M. Holden.
Thank you, Holden.
Austin Gurley.
Thank you.
Cody McCarron.
Cheers.
We like Cody.
Yeah. I'll take your word on it.
Lars Schmid Christensen.
Oh,
his
Schmid
name is my name, too.
Wow.
He's from Denmark.
Is he?
Our furthest away patron.
Yay, Lars.
Oh, come
thanks, Lars.
Come visit us here at Barcade on Monday at 5.
And bring us takeout from Noma. So, Benedict.
Thank you, sir.
Andrew,
we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Douglas Byram.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thomas Carullo.
Also to you.
The one and only CT Magaha.
Saison Slayer 69.
Michael Sardina.
By the way, and Mike Sardina is a great guy, but CT Magaha just graduated like college
I saw
or grad
that on the
Facha
Libra.
So,
I saw that on Facha
yeah,
Libra.
Congrats to you.
Congratulations.
We're proud of you.
Congratulations. That is true.
Yeah.
I did see that. Well remembered. Dan Roebuck.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks,
Dan.
Jay Mill.
And to you.
And Fallon.
Cheers.
Jason Riley.
Salute.
NASA guy.
Benjamin Albert.
All right, Ben. Thanks.
Justin Gaynor.
Thank you, Justin Gaynor.
Sean Plache.
Is it Place or Plache? Place. We went through this, right? It's Place.
It's definitely Place.
Yeah. It's Sean from Plache. That. It's Sean from there.
Right.
We like him. Thank you.
Matt,
I mean, we like all you guys, but you know.
Matt Dapkins.
Thank you, Matt.
Nathan Fortner.
Thank you, Nathan.
Justin Licinelli.
Justin, learn how to spell your name better.
Timothy Warren.
Thank you. Thank you, Timothy.
Evan Levine.
Thank you, Evan.
Matt Tubby.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Josh Badger.
Cheers, Josh Badger.
Darren McCloskey.
And Darren. Darren showing up in the clutch.
Jake Wysocki.
All right, Jake.
Gene Lynch.
Oh, we like Gene.
Gene, what's up, Gene?
Gene, the drinking machine.
Nate Johnson.
Everybody nodded their heads. Nate's also a drinking machine.
Mark Forsman.
Sure. I don't
says
know
right
Mark.
Here, drinking machine.
Drinking machine.
Michael Buzanik.
Oh, thanks, Mike Buzanik.
Otto Eisenberg.
Where the hell you been, buddy?
Gregory Yachts.
Oh, yeah. Also known as Boat.
Yes. Sam Lehman.
Thank you, Sam.
Tasting Niche.
Oh, all right. I thought we went through this.
I know. I just want to know.
We've read this multiple times.
I want to know what Niche tastes like.
But do you?
I do.
All right.
You know me. I like flavor.
You can apparently
John Stevenson.
John Stevenson.
Mark with a C.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just Mark.
All right. Hey,
what's up, Mark? DJ Drumpf.
Oh, the DJ Drumpf comes on after Avicii.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Poor
Avicii. Opens for
poor Avicii.
DJ.
Our first lost the bottle DJ. Service.
Yeah.
Mike McCarty.
Mike McCarty.
Jake Eager.
Uh-huh.
Nick Caffarella.
Thank you very much.
Carl Weiss.
Carl.
Carl.
good on you.
TJ Osborne.
Thank you, TJ Osborne.
Tim Hitchings.
Tim!
Love Tim.
We should have saved him for the end because then well, we, the would end just is next. We would have bookended the...
And yeah. The end is next. Brian Altschul.
Oh, Brian Altschul, yeah.
It's a thanks, nice B. pair to tie it all
So on. You didn't read Jason Garris's name?
He's not
or
on there.
Or Joe Byland?
He's not on there.
Like, both of those guys are these sons are of bitches.
These are $5 and up.
Well, you got to pay to get the thank you.
Yeah. Jason Garris and Joe Byland, two friends of mine who can certainly afford we'll more than shit. $5.
As a matter of fact,
there's a $2 level.
Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, thieves, do us a favor and do what John's doing and give your friends that listen shit because we're doing hard work here. Brian Cash should also get to Brian Cash should also get to fly first class with John Hall. And to do that, we I'm need some keep more patroons for the Patreons. And I'm sorry Justin didn't think to say thank you to any of you, but he also meant to say thank you while I was reading
There's
that list.
No room for any more voices on this.
Can't get it horizontal. Anyway, so if you want to Patreon us, how do they do it, Justino?
You can go to patreon.com/stealthisbeer.
And if they want to write us a letter?
You can do that at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, or submit a comment on our website.
And
toast us on
all
the
different. Have you been being mean on Instagram like you promised you would be?
Yeah, I just put out one now.
Yeah,
are being you being mean to people
yeah.
though?
Yeah, totally.
All right, keep that up.
Why is Cass being mean?
Because I assigned him that. I want him to just be just mean to Instagram all everybody. Just like, you're all an idiot. People. Like he does to us all the time.
This beer sucks. We're able to do the show because of the support from you guys and the fact that we can be honest about beers because we don't know what we're drinking, but because we are honest guys to begin with. Is something that you don't actually get from a lot of other places. And so I hope that you'll continue to support the work that we're doing because we feel it's important.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And a shout out to 16-ounce Canvas who came by at least my booth at CBC to tell us he was a fan of the show.
Oh, right on.
Oh, yeah. No, I ran into a bunch of guys. If I'd known that that's what we were going to do, I would have brought their business cards. But I was hanging out with Friends and Brewing out in South Dakota, North Dakota, okay. Fargo, North Dakota. We were hanging out at CBC. I was hanging out with the guy. He bought me a Pilsner. And I knew that this is the beer that you would like. And I was like, thank you very much. And there's another guy from Illinois who I can't remember.
Right, so you're ready, you're ready for mine? Yeah. And it's okay if this guy doesn't give us money. But uh-huh. I was at a
Garrett Oliver. Was it
a
Garrett Oliver?
Thing for my kids' school. And I was introduced to a lit teacher uh-huh. at the school my children haven't had yet who told me he liked the podcast.
No yeah. way.
And I was like, I literally, you know me, I, as much as I seem brash and braggadocio, in person I was like, oh my God, thank you. I don't think anybody's ever actually said that to me. That's amazing. Thank you so much. So I went through that awkward phase and I thought about saying, do you give us a $2 tip for listening? Like
but then you realize that he's
like
a teacher.
Like all good thieves yeah. do. And then I remembered he's a teacher in a New Jersey school and that's not going to.
Yeah,
we have a lot of unsung fans.
I got called out at a White Castle in Louisville, Kentucky. I swear to God, I did.
Were you on your fixie at the drive-thru?
No, I was at the Shelton Brothers Festival, and they're like, "Are you Justin from Salisbury?" Yep, that's
right
me.
On, right on. All right, Jill. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thanks
we
for playing along,
guys.
And thanks for keeping us live.
Happy Memorial Day. Welcome to
yes,
summer.
That's thank right. You. Welcome to summer. Get out of here.
Cheers.